Hey everybody, this is Sophie, and welcome to episode 168 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, we're going to follow up with a couple of things that we talked about last week, namely Harry and Meghan, the whole royal family situation, and Cheer, because Melanie has finished the whole series at this point, so we needed to catch up. We're also going to talk about a couple of things that we have cooked and loved recently, and you're going to get a very special update about the raccoons that live by Melanie. Before we get to all that, though, I just want to remind you that our Amazon shop is there for your convenience if you would like kind of a one-stop place to see and ponder the things that we mention on our episodes. You can do that at amazon.com/shop/bigboo. It's recently updated with some new things that we really love and enjoy that are available on Amazon. And it's a fun way to be able to keep all of that in one place. So amazon.com/shop/bigboo for your convenience and enjoyment. Amen. Alrighty, y'all. Here we go with episode 168. Hey, everybody, this is Sophie. This is Boo Mama.
Hey, everybody, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama. And Sophie is mocking me.
Gladys is in the house.
Gladys already had herself two strong cups of black coffee and three cartons of Marlboro Lights this morning.
Oh, I think Gladys got in the reds. I don't think she full with the lights.
Gaw.
Oh, goodness. Melanie has a cold, everyone.
I have a little bit of a cold. I don't know. At first, I thought it was allergies, but now I decided I think it's a cold because it doesn't seem to be getting any better.
Right. Yeah, it does. It does sound like a cold.
Yeah. Thank you. I took some ZQL last night. I've taken Sudafed. I'll tell you what my saving grace has been is that I learned how to recreate the medicine ball drink from Starbucks, and I've been drinking a lot of those, and they are delicious and they make me feel better.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, I'd always heard people talk about, like, go get a medicine ball from Starbucks. And then I saw somebody posted, like, here's the medicine ball knockoff. And I was like, oh, that sounds delicious. So here's what it is. I'll post a link to the recipe. But you have to get Teavana, which I never talk about Teavana tea without thinking about Jen Hatmaker.
Because sure,
remember that
too.
Time she called mm-hmm. us about going there? Teavana. Mm-hmm. So you get their, it's like their peach herbal tea and their herbal mint tea. It's two different kinds of Teavana teas that I ordered off of Amazon. So what you do is you do half, however big you want it, which I've been making a big Yeti full, half lemonade, which I use Simply Lemonade, half lemonade, half water, and you heat it up, and then you steep in it two of the peach tranquility tea bags and two of the herbal mint tea bags, and then put in about a tablespoon of honey and just let all of that, it's delicious. And then if you're really congested like I am today, you can put a couple of drops of peppermint essential oil, and it makes it a little minty too. And I'm telling you,
it sounds delicious.
It tastes delicious, and it is the perfect thing for a cold. Like, it really has made me, my throat's not sore today, but it was for 2 days, and like, it has been the best thing to just have to sip on. It's so comforting and it's really good, and I'm a big fan.
Well, I am all the better for knowing that. I'm here to tell you.
So we'll put a link up to that, but I'm going to tell you that the medicine ball has been a revelation for me this go around. I mean, obviously it hadn't made me sound any better, but it has been a comfort to me as I've sat on my couch.
Sure. And I bet it's extra good with a cigarette. I bet it's really
It really is.
Just a perfect combination.
So
perfect combination.
But here's the other thing. So I've been sitting around. I'm sick. So we're off school today. It's Monday. It's Martin Luther King Day when we're recording this. And so I've been home. So this morning, Caroline was getting ready because she had to go meet a group for a school project they're working on. And So she was getting ready and I kept hearing this like beep, 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 beep. And I was like, what is that? So I went and looked and something on like our alarm pad on the house was like beeping. Like it was like a short, I guess, because we've got like sensors on the windows. And so I think one of them had shorted out. So I just pushed a couple of buttons like to see if I could get it to reset, which usually works. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't think anything of it. And I was folding clothes and all of a sudden there was a bang, bang, bang at the door. And I'm going to tell you that our EMS and our fire department were at our front door.
Oh, no.
They were like, ma'am. Oh, no.
And you said, y'all, I have a cold. Can you help me?
I have some congestion.
I'm in need of your assistance.
And I wanted to say, I realize it's 12:30 and I'm standing here talking to you. I have no bra on because I wasn't expecting the EMS and the fire department to come to the door. Thankfully, I had on a very large sweatshirt and pajama pants, but I thought they're like, this is a drama queen. But then here's the best thing. I'm standing there talking to him and I'm like, oh my gosh, our alarm is shorting out. I'm so sorry. I feel terrible. Which are where we live, like we're literally right down the street. So, I mean, they drove like right. 3 blocks to get here, but I'm like, I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh, I feel so terrible. I didn't realize that had happened. Nobody called me because we've had like false alarms before, but they call and they say, is there an emergency? And then you just say no if there's not. But I was like, I feel so bad or whatever. Well, in the meantime, Perry Schenkel has pulled up and all he sees is that the EMS and the fire trucks are like with their lights going in front of our house. And he comes to the front door and he opens up and it's like pure panic. He goes, what is going on? And I was like, it's false alarm. And they were like, sir, your wife. And then he was like, oh, yeah, whatever. And so anyway, that has been our dramatic start to the morning. And then, of course, you know, we've lived in this house for 20 something years. And so now all our neighbors have been like, is everything OK? Are y'all good?
Bless it.
I know.
That's a rough morning. That's an exciting morning.
It's been a lot for a morning that I was just going to be home doing nothing. So that's how our day has started.
Well, at first, when you said something about the windows, I thought maybe the raccoons were up to something. I didn't know. I mean,
well, you know, but mm-hmm. I do have an update to the raccoons, and that's a whole other thing. That like,
I'm sorry. By the way, I have had people like real life friends ask me about the raccoons and want an update. And I have responded by saying, I cannot do it justice. Oh. You just need to wait for Melanie to tell the story.
So we had the raccoon in our chimney, you know, like when was that 6 weeks ago or so?
Yes.
And then I think it was either right before Christmas or white. I think it was right before Christmas. I can't believe I haven't told y'all this. Just it got lost and all that. So the house next door to ours, part of the reason there's a raccoon problem, I think I've talked about, is the house next door to us has been abandoned for like 30 years. And so the mm-hmm. raccoons live there. We know they do. And we can't get the city to condemn the house, which needs to happen. And so that is, it's been an ongoing thing with all the neighbors. So 3 o'clock in the morning, about a month ago, I'm in a dead sleep and Caroline comes running into our bedroom, flips on like we have like a hallway light that leads to our bedroom. She flips on that light and she was like, Mom, Dad, there's a weird sound coming from my room. Something's going on. Well, you know me, I like spring to attention because I mean, I can't remember the last time our child appeared in our bedroom in the middle of the night. Like that just doesn't mm-hmm. happen when they're this age. So like, in my mind, like, I mean, I'm throwing like, cause I just sleep in a t-shirt. So I'm like throwing on like sweaters and pants and like my sweaters backwards and the tags hanging out. And I'm like, I'm coming. Hold on. I'm coming. And like, I go running into a room and like, I don't even really know what's happening. And then Perry comes stumbling in about 5 minutes later and, or 2 or 3 minutes later, but we can hear it's like a horrendous sound outside her bedroom window, which her bedroom window faces the side of this abandoned house. And so we hear this horrendous sound and I'm like, I don't know what it is. It sounds like an animal dying or something terrible is going on. It's like a cat fight, but like she and I don't even want to look out to see what's going on. Like, I don't even want to know. And Piper sleeps in her room. And so Piper's kind of going crazy and is whining. And so finally I look out and I'm like, I don't see anything. Well, then Perry looks out and what has happened is that one of the raccoons has, mm-hmm. the chimney of that house has separated from the house. And so it appears that one of the raccoons was trying to go down that chimney to his home where he lives in that house and had gotten stuck.
Oh sorry. The poor raccoon.
It was terrible.
But if you wonder why they're in your chimney, that's all they know. That's how you get them out. That's how you come and go. You use the chimney.
You use the chimney. That's their entrance and exit point. And so the raccoon, and so we really, Perry's like, oh, that raccoon is stuck. He was like, he's not getting out. Like, he's stuck. And then to make it worse, like, his raccoon friends, I guess, are like, I don't know if they were attacking him or trying to save him, but it was like, it was awful. It was, I can't even tell you how terrible it was. It's like a horror movie. So that was all going on. So then Perry's like, well, here's my shot. And this, listen, I don't need y'all to judge us for this. We live in Texas. We have a house full of raccoons next to us. So at 3 a.m, Perry, and it was a cold night, he was like, he puts on his jacket and is like, I guess I'm going to go kill some raccoons. And so he goes and gets his gun out of the,
oh my word,
I know. And so he ends up having to shoot that one raccoon because it was stuck in the chimney and you weren't getting it out and you can't help it's not like a raccoon's going to be like, please sir, pull me out of this chimney. I mean,
right.
So he had to put it out of its misery, and then the other raccoons ran off because I guess they were like, hey, there's a guy with a gun.
Okay, just rough estimate, because you know I like to think about these things. How many raccoons do we think there are over there?
I think there's upwards of, I think for sure there's a family. I think there's upwards of 8 to 10 raccoons that live in my house. I do. And
I don't know what you call a group of raccoons. I don't know. Is it like
a pride? It's a pride.
A pride. Is it a pack? I don't know what you call it, but that's significant. But I just want to tell you too, omitting, of course, the incident that just happened, there's a whole children's book in this situation. Like, if that's not next after Piper and Mabel's book, I don't know what is. I mean, that's a whole thing.
I mean, the raccoons in the chimney. It's just the craziest dang thing. And, you know, used to, before we had Piper and Mabel, we would see them in our backyard some. Now they don't even dare to come into our backyard. I mean, ever.
Right, right.
But, I mean, they're over there. And the thing is like we report it and we complain to the city, but nothing ever seems to get. But, I mean, it essentially, we have a raccoon habitat next door is what we've got going on.
Sure.
So, well,
and of course, I just picture, you know, the mom has an apron, yeah, like she's over there. Cooking little raccoon meals for her little raccoon babies.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And then that night I kept thinking like those raccoons, and they were like hissing at that raccoon that was stuck, and it was terrible. Like the sounds they were making were awful, and they were just chattering and whatever. And it was, and Perry at first told Caroline, he's like, you're just going to need to turn up your sound machine and go back to sleep. Nobody can sleep through that. Like that.
Oh my God.
Like,
yeah, they'll work it
horrendous
out.
I'm like, and that isn't going away.
No. Mm-mm. We actually had a situation a couple of nights ago. David turns 50 this week. So it's a big week in our house.
It is a big week.
Yeah. And so this past weekend, he went on a trip to Mentone with the guys in our small group. And I would say it was a hiking trip, but we'd have to put hiking in quotation marks because it was real cold and they didn't really do a lot of hiking. But so Alex and I were here by ourselves, and I think it was Saturday night. I don't know. I've been doing laundry all day. I can't tell you how much laundry I've done, because the thing I get behind on the most during the course of the school year is laundry. Like, it's just, it's crazy. So I'd been doing tons and tons of laundry and putting stuff away and trying to organize some things. And so it was kind of late, and Hazel needed to go outside. And usually when she goes outside the last time of the night, she just, you know how our front door, we have a little courtyard kind of around our little front door. And so not our little front door, it's a regular size front door, but I was apparently stealing children's book.
Yes.
So she usually will just run outside. She'll go to the bathroom really quick in that little courtyard, and then she'll just run back in. We don't even put her on a leash. Uh-huh. It's just kind of our routine. So occasionally, if there's more she needs to do than that, she just runs across to the big hill that borders our driveway, and then she runs back in. It's a super simple little routine that we do. Uh-huh. And then I stand out there with her. So Saturday night, I open the front door and it's cold. And so I walk outside on the front steps with her and she, you know, does her business. And then she kind of turns like she's going to go to the little hillside. And so I just stay where I am watching her, and Alex comes outside and we're just kind of talking, and Hazel turns the corner by the house, which she does not normally do. So I kind of panic like, oh no, is there another dog or whatever? And she barks. And so I turn like I'm going to go get the leash. And then when I look back, there is a giant deer. I cannot tell you. A giant deer that is galloping through the hill, like across the hill in front of our house, like just at full speed. So here goes the deer. And then about 2 seconds later, here comes Hazel. Oh, like she's going to catch it. But then she actually, when the deer crossed the driveway, she thought better of it. And she, I don't know what we would have done if she'd have kept going. That would have been a horrible, I mean, she'd have never caught it. But anyway, there's a deer in our driveway.
Okay. Well, look at us with all our wildlife encounters.
I know. So she just turned around and came back in. Okay. She was done.
She said, no, thank you.
No, thank you. But I appreciated that she thought she was going to catch it. You know, when she ran from the little dogs next door about 2 months ago when she took off.
But for one shining moment, she was going to be her best, biggest self.
Well, it was just funny to see the deer come across the hill and then Hazel, you know, kind of following like it was a game. I don't think she wasn't angry. I think she just wanted to play, you know?
Yeah. Just, hey, what's happening? What's going on? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. That is so funny.
Well, I hope the raccoons I hope their shenanigans come to a little bit of a halt for your sanity's sake.
I hope so. I mean, we haven't heard from them since then. I mean, I feel like it was maybe, you know, inadvertently, we weren't looking to kill a raccoon that night. That wasn't our aim in the past. Mm-mm. We have trapped some and we relocated them. But I feel like they were like, now the mom is sitting there with her apron and she's stirring her little, you know, vegetable beef stew. And she's saying, hey guys, remember what happened to Fred? That's know what I mean? Like,
here's a cautionary tale for you.
It's made the raccoon rounds and they're like, hey, you know what? You could get stuck. Number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, you don't want to mess with the guy next door, 'cause he'll come out in his boxer shorts and his jacket.
That's right.
And shoot you dead.
So. Well, there'd be no way to get that raccoon out. I mean, what do you even do? I mean,
well, Perry, I'm going to tell you this is horrific, but the next morning he had to go remove the raccoon's dead body where it was stuck, because it was still there. You can't just let it decompose on a, you know, and so, I mean, but he like got up on a ladder and he had some of his landscape guys that work with him help. And it took like three of them to get the dead raccoon out. It was so stuck. Like, it was terrible. It's awful. So, anyway, so we have continually filed our complaints, and hopefully maybe at some point, because I've said for years that chimney, because it's a rock chimney and it's separating from the house. And I've said for years, it is a disaster waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. And you know what? For Fred the raccoon,
that's right.
It was.
It was. Bless it.
I know.
When I run across something that helps me to be a little bit more efficient, just a tiny bit more efficient, it makes me so happy. And I want to tell you about something that is one of the very best life hacks I have run across recently. It's hard to find the time to sit down and not just read, but figure out what to read. And there's an incredible app that helps to solve this problem. I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. It takes the best key takeaways, kind of the essential need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help to business to health to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always have meant to read but have never had time to. I like Blinkist because it helps me to know what to read. I especially like to read nonfiction books about politics. I like to read nonfiction books about health. And it's hard for me to know not only what's out there, but what I want to devote the time to read. And Blinkist is super helpful in terms of giving you the big picture of a book. Recently, I used Blinkist to decide that I really am interested in reading more of a book called Wheat Belly by Dr. William Davis, and also a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. What's even better is that you can search by category, so you don't just have to know the title of the book you're looking for. Whatever the area is you're interested in, you can use Blinkist to help you not only find titles, but then to find out more about those titles. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. And right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/BigBoo to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/BigBoo to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/BigBoo. Well, I don't know a whole lot, except that I have done laundry for a bunch of days and I'm all caught up on my laundry, and I've never felt more accomplished because I'm never caught up on laundry. But today, I will have you know, as a result of kind of sorting and kind of getting everything where it needs to go and all that kind of stuff, I was getting ready to run a couple of errands, and I went in my closet and I was going to grab a pair of yoga pants, and I saw something out of the corner of my eye and I was like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. I pull them out, and it is a pair of yoga pants that I ordered from, I think, the Nordstrom sale last summer, and put at the bottom of the stack because they were full-length leggings. And lo and behold, today I discovered them. I'd forgotten I even had them. They were delightful, and it's like I got something new for free, kind of.
I love that. It's like a belated Christmas present.
It is. I have thought Merry Christmas to my own dadgum self all day long. And they're Zella leggings, which, you know, I love Zella leggings.
Yeah.
And they're so cute. And I totally, I think I must have just put them at the bottom of the pile because they were full length and there was no way I was going to wear them.
Yeah.
But I'm so tickled every time today I think about them. I'm just as tickled to be wearing them, to have them, to have forgotten that I have them.
Are they like the wide leg bottom? Like the
No, these are really like I mean, they're just leggings, like workout leggings kind of things.
Okay. I love my Zella workout leggings. I think they are wonderfully soft and super comfortable.
Yes. And they're supportive, and they make you feel like everything is all held together. And even if it doesn't look held together to the observing eye, who cares? Yeah. Because you feel good about yourself.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
I'm just as tickled about that. I don't know.
Okay. Well, and you got it. I mean, I feel like in light of the fact that we've been watching Cheer with all their little cheer bodies, you know, it's like anything that can help you feel a little more pulled together, I feel like is a win.
I'm going to tell you that it would take a whole factory of spandex to pull me together to the group that those people are. It would. There's not enough spandex to pull me together to that degree. But so you finished it. You finished Cheer?
I finished it. I finished it. I'm going to say I finished it. And because I have been down with this cold, I have to report on a couple of different things I've watched. But I'm going to say that I finished it and I have watched it again. So I've now watched it all the way through twice.
I'm so impressed by that. I have watched six. I have watched episode six, I think, 3 times.
Okay. It's so good. Like, the whole thing is so good. I feel like, and here's the thing, I got Caroline to watch it, and I feel like that was a triumph because I feel like it was a way for her to get some good motivational quotes without them coming directly from me, you know, like I felt like it was some good motivation for her to see what these girls and guys go through. I felt like there were some good life lessons in there. The whole thing to me is so good.
Well, and I don't want to dabble in spoilers because I know it's a fairly new show and people haven't watched it yet. But in episode six in particular, there are just a couple of moments where you really have to assess how you would respond in that kind of situation.
Yeah.
And I personally feel like you could have pressed pause in that in that general vicinity, and you could have gotten a good 30 to 45 minutes out of that. Like, in terms of what do champions do?
Yeah.
You know, what do champions do?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Do you want to win? Because here's what winners do.
Here's what winners do. And I will say, this is not a spoiler. The way Monica responds when there's crisis or when there's something that unexpected happens is a whole lesson too.
She never
panics ever.
She doesn't. She's, you know why? Because we can, we will, we must.
There's a part before they compete at nationals, or when they're competing at nationals, when they stand in a circle and recite the
Serenity Prayer.
The Serenity Prayer. So they stand in a circle, they recite the Serenity Prayer, but they scream it.
Uh-huh.
And it is very effective to me. It gives me chill bumps. It's emotional. I don't know. That whole thing is fantastic. And I saw, because somebody forwarded me her post on Instagram, that Lexi is back at Navarro. Navarro.
Yes, she's back. And I was so happy to see that, because I was so worried about her. When you kind of see where they are now, I was mm-hmm. worried about her life choices and all of that. And you just want to see these kids succeed. And so I was so happy to see that she is back, apparently. And I hope that really works out for her.
Now, who are you following on Instagram now that it's over?
Oh, everybody. Morgan, okay. Jerry, Gabby Butler. I don't think I'm following Lexi.
No, I'm not following Lexi either.
Mm-mm.
Monica. I'm following Monica.
Yeah, I'm following Monica. And I'm also following Monica on Twitter now.
Okay.
So I love them so much. I'm going to tell you that our Alamo Heights cheer team went to state competition this past weekend, and they won state in their division. But that our cheerleading coach had Jerry give them a shout out on social media, and he did.
Oh, he would.
I know. Caroline said, listen, when she was watching it, she said, I love Jerry. She said, his mat talk is so good. She said, it's like we all need a Jerry on the sidelines. And I said, look, I will be your Jerry on the sidelines. I said, I will. You go, girl. Get it up. And she was like, no, Mom, I really, no, mm-hmm. no. But I would do that.
Yeah. Well, I kind of think you already do, honestly. I mean, I think probably at least in your head, you probably restrain it a little bit, but I feel like you're a good Jerry on the sidelines, I think.
I feel like I've tried really hard to not, like, if I, like, to me, I cheer for all the girls, like, not just Caroline. Like, I feel like I really try to, and, like, positive. Like, I'm not mm-hmm. going to be like, that was terrible. I feel like, but I try to equally, like, cheer for all her teammates as they have the ball. But we did laugh. She just played in a tournament this past weekend. And they played some really, like, they played, like, two of the best teams in the city that are big 6A schools. And so I think we were a little more intense than usual. And Perry has really gotten over the years to where he has gotten quieter and quieter just because mm-hmm. she's been like dad. And so he really, I have to say, does a really good job of staying pretty quiet and just mm-hmm. every now and then being like, come on, Shankle, dig deep, you know, keep your head in it or whatever. And that's kind of it. But we both got into this last game. And at one point he was like, she had this breakaway and she was running with the ball. And he was like, Shankle, run it down. Like whatever. And one of the parents behind us was like, I think he wants her to run it down. And I was like, and I died laughing. And I laughed after because she said, because, you know, so many of these girls on the team are girls she's played with since they were little. And she said that when he started, she went over to the sidelines after she was out of the game. They were like, Perry Shankle is back. It was so good to hear his voice. Like they were so. Oh, we laughed. And she was like, they were all like, oh, your dad, we've missed it. He's back. And so I was like, well, he lost himself for a moment. We got caught up in the excitement.
It's easy to do. It is easy to get caught up in the excitement. As y'all know, Melanie and I love us some beauty products. And when it comes to beauty products, there are so many choices. So why not ask for more from your favorite brands? I am motivated now more than ever to stick to high quality, amazing products that are not only good for my skin, but also do good for the community and the world as a whole. That's why I'm so glad that I discovered Thrive Cosmetics. Thrive Cosmetics products are made with high performance, skin loving ingredients. Their clinically proven formulas highlight your best features with long lasting wear. All Thrive products are free of parabens, sulfates, and phthalates. Melanie especially loves their Bright Balance 3-in-1 cleanser. She was just telling me today how much She loves not only what it's like when you use it, but how it makes her skin look and feel afterwards. Thrive Cosmetics never tests on animals and has been Leaping Bunny and PETA certified as completely vegan and cruelty-free. For every product purchase, Thrive Cosmetics helps women in need thrive by donating funds or products. Their causes include women emerging from homelessness, surviving domestic abuse, and women fighting cancer. It's always so encouraging to see companies that not only want to make a great product, but also want to do great good. Thrive Cosmetics' Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara is sold every 7 seconds and has over 7,000 five-star reviews online. The innovative Tried and True Mascara gives the look of lash extensions with a smudge-proof, flake-free formula that truly lasts all day. And this is where I have to tell y'all. You know how I am about mascara. I will try any kind. This mascara is so great that after I used it for the first time, I went to my makeup bag and I threw away every other mascara in there. It's incredible. So start thriving and help women in need today by going to thrivecosmetics.com/bigboo and use the code bigboo for 15% off your first purchase. That's thrive, C-A-U-S-E medics.com/bigboo and use the code bigboo for 15% off. thrivecosmetics.com/bigboo with the promo code bigboo. So one of the things that I've been trying to do a better job of this year, this is not really a resolution, this is just like a, hey, we got to do better here, is having a kitchen and a pantry that is better stocked for us to always be able to find something to eat here. Not that there's not all.
Oh, that's good.
You know what I mean? But just like to try to eliminate some of the chronic pick up, take out, run, get something kind of thing. And that means that I have made a couple of trips to Costco in order to try to shore up things. But I feel good about it. Like the last couple of weeks we've done really well and it's been really easy. It doesn't feel like, oh, we've made this horrible sacrifice. It's just trying to keep more stuff here that we like to eat and that's easier.
Yeah.
So, last night I made Trisha Yearwood's chicken tortilla soup. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on the podcast or not, but it is the best. It's so good. Okay. It's such a good recipe and I will link to it, but it's got half and half in it, but it's a real brothy soup, which I really like. And I'm going to say it again. Mm-hmm. I said it a couple of weeks ago about chicken and dumplings and I'm going to say it again. And this may not be a word for you, Melanie Schenkel.
Okay. All right.
Because I know how you're feeling about chicken right now, but maybe for somebody, this will be an encouragement. So last night was maybe the first time that I have made this soup where I went and got the chicken breasts that are on the bone and cook those for the soup and then use that stock to make the soup. There's really no comparison. And I thought there's something about this. Last night when I was taking the chicken out of the pot, I was like, how many other things does this apply to where we're trying to use somebody else's chicken in a way? You know,
you got to use your own chicken.
You got to cook your own chicken, but it was so good. Yeah. And so anyway, once it's all done and it's not like a taco soup. It's not a thick soup, which sometimes I get tired of. But then you can put cheese and sour cream, which I don't care for. But last night I put avocado on mine and then I squeezed some lime on it. Like you've taught me today.
Yeah.
And it's so delicious. So if anybody, and it makes a ton. So if anybody is looking for a good soup recipe, I highly recommend that one. I highly recommend go get your own chicken.
Okay.
On the bone. Mm-hmm. You can handle it with tongs. You don't have to touch it. I even shredded mine with tongs. But it was so good. And the chicken stock was delicious.
Okay. You know, somebody taught me too, you know, you can shred it and you can use your KitchenAid mixer to shred chicken.
Yes, you can.
Too.
But you just have to get this off the bone, you know?
Yeah, you got to get it off the bone, which is the problem. But I feel like, you've just given me, like, your soup has given me, maybe it's because I've been watching Cheer, but I'm like, real excellence means that there are no shortcuts.
That's right.
That's it. There are no shortcuts to real excellence.
Can't use somebody else's chicken.
That is going to be my... No, that's right. Real champions use their own chicken.
That's right. They do. And I will say, so here's what I do to when I cook chicken, if I really want good stock afterwards, if I'm going to use it for soup, And I say this like I've been doing it for all my life. My mama did do it for all her life, but I've really only been doing this for a month. So, you know, behold my expertise is what I'm saying, is to do the water. And then I do a chicken bouillon cube. And then I cut up, I don't know, probably a half. Well, just put some big chunks of celery in there. Just chop it and put it in there. And you can put leaves and all in there. That's got flavor too. And then I chop up just in big quarters. I chop up an onion and then I put salt and pepper. And then I let that come to a boil. And I put garlic powder in there because I'm iffy on garlic. A little goes a long way. I put garlic powder in there. Maybe just like a couple of teaspoons of Worcestershire sauce. And then I let that come to a boil. And then I put the chicken in there with tongs. And then I just let it cook for about 30-ish minutes, 45 minutes. And then I drain it. And then all those vegetables I will chop up again and put back into the soup. And then pull the chicken off the bone. But I used every bit of the chicken broth last night when I made the tortilla soup. And I'm telling you, it's just, it's something else. So here's to not using somebody else's chicken in 2020. That's right. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Okay. I think that's a good word for us. Now on for my fellow non-chicken eaters, because I am on a serious no chicken kick right now. I will say that I made 2 weeks ago, I made Jamie from Family Savvies. I made her spicy hamburger soup.
I've seen that. I have not made it.
It is delicious. Like we ate it up and like a lot of times I'm weird about leftovers. Perry will always eat leftovers, but sometimes he'll just eat them like, it's fine. It's what there is. Like, in fact, right now we have this, I made this other Italian sausage soup and it's got lentils in it. And he told me the other night that that soup was good, except it had too much corn in it. And I was like, well, that's not corn. Those are lentils. So.
You are mistaken, sir. Does not have too much corn.
It has zero corn, but it does have a lot of lentils because it's called Italian sausage lentil soup. But the spicy hamburger soup, and I think I made it exactly like her recipe called. I don't think I made any changes in it, and it is so good. You could leave some of the vegetables out, but it's kind of like this spicy beef vegetable soup. And it's different than taco soup, but it's got spice to it. And it's just, it's really, really good.
Okay. I'm going to try it.
Yeah. It's your people would love it. I mean, it's a good, like meaty, hearty, vegetable-y soup, but that you use like spicy V8 in it and you use some Rotel. So it's got like a real spicy, but not too spicy. And you could definitely downgrade the spice if you wanted to, but it's just really good. Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Jamie's going to be so thrilled that she made that.
I know. Well, I have to say, like, she's become one of my new go-to. Like, I have a couple of her recipes bookmarked because I have not made anything of hers that I have been disappointed with. Like, I think all her recipes are really good. And, you know, sometimes, like, when you're going on Pinterest, you get one and you're like, yeah, I don't know. You know, like, this, it could kind of go either way. But this, because it's got Worcestershire in it and then that spicy V8, like it just has a really good, the base flavor is really good. So I highly recommend.
Okay, that's good to know because I have some spicy V8 in the refrigerator because I needed it for a recipe. And so that's a good way I can use that.
Yeah, it's really good. I highly recommend. It's a good one.
Melanie and I both love our FabFitFun subscriptions and the FabFitFun winner box is on sale now. FabFitFun is a women's lifestyle subscription box filled with full-size, premium beauty, lifestyle, fitness, home, and wellness products sent straight to your doorstep each season. FabFitFun takes the hassle out of shopping by doing it for you, and each box is customized to your specific interest. They deliver the seasonal must-haves that you need. The winter box is the perfect way to treat yourself with FabFitFun's carefully curated box of products, and it has everything you need for your best winner yet. These boxes sell out fast, so you want to sign up for yours today. I've mentioned it before, but I'd love to get my FabFitFun box every season. I like to open it by myself. I like to take my time. I like to go through and see what they have put in there that particular season. For this winter box, I love and am currently wearing the comfiest slippers from PJ Salvage. They're cable knit on the outside and a fake fur on the inside. They are a delight. The FabFitFun box retails for $49.99, but always has a value of over $200. And you can use the promo code BIGBOO to get $10 off your first box at FabFitFun.com. That's FabFitFun.com and use the promo code BIGBOO for $10 off your first box. You're going to love it. Okay, so it's been a week since we last talked about our friends, yes, the Royals, again, about Meghan, yes, and Harry. What are your thoughts? Now, I will say, people, at least according to the responses we got on social media, it was very interesting how enthusiastically some people agreed, yeah, with you.
I know.
About the Meghan piece, mm-hmm, of the puzzle. So now they, mm-hmm, have all met since, mm-hmm, we last talked. What have you learned? What can you share with us?
Well, I'm going to tell you that what I have learned is, so now the deal is they're basically, I feel like what the Queen basically came out and said in a very gracious way. And I think there were people that were hoping the Queen would come, mm-hmm, out stronger. But I'm like, y'all, this is why she's been the Queen for 65 years. She knows how to make a good statement. You know what I mean? Like, she knows how to say the right things, right, and to be gracious. And so, but I feel like what she basically said is, we're going to give this thing 1 year. Y'all are not going to use Her Royal Highness. That is done. Mm-hmm. I think by taking away all his military stuff, I think she hit Harry where it hurts. But I think it's fair. I think it goes back to, I think she essentially said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. The end. And then you're going to have 1 year to reevaluate, because apparently to be able to really strip them of the Her Royal Highness or His Royal Highness titles, that has to come from Parliament, apparently, and my brief understanding of British government that I have learned from various websites.
Sure.
She could have taken the Duke and Duchess away from them, but she was never going to do that, because even David and Wallace got to stay Duke and Duchess. But basically, okay, they said this is her way of, they aren't allowed to use it. They're not supposed to use it. But if a year from now they decide, hey, maybe this isn't as great as we thought it was, that way they still could step back in. Mm-hmm. Although people tend to agree that would kind of be a bad PR look to be like, never mind. Or if the marriage weren't to make it, it gives Harry the right to, because then Meghan would automatically lose hers if the marriage doesn't make it. And then Harry could still retain his. Now, whether or not he could step, okay, back into all his military things, and there's just a lot that goes with that. Like, that really was the major piece of all of it. I feel like even more than them paying back what they spent on renovations for Frogmore Cottage and all that, that to me was the piece that I feel like was telling Harry, like, we're taking this seriously and our feelings are very hurt, is what, mm-hmm, I think. So,
Well, her statement was beautifully written.
It was beautifully written. But then I thought that Harry had another bad look. This is just my personal opinion. But he went and he was making a speech at a foundation that is for HIV and for AIDS and all of that. And he chose that time to kind of go on and on about why he was making this decision. And there again, I'm like, I don't know that an AIDS, mm-hmm, charity is the time to be talking about your poor lot in life as a royal. It mm-hmm, felt like a bad, I feel like here's the first thing that they need to do is Harry and Meghan need to hire a better PR person.
Mm. Yeah. We talked about that last week, that somebody had mishandled that. I do wonder, you know, again, me, I hate to give up on people, or I hate to assume that it can't.
I know.
But here's what I wonder, and this is me giving, uh-huh, everybody the benefit of the doubt. I wonder, as much as Queen Elizabeth understands the scrutiny and the loneliness and the isolation and all that, uh-huh, of the position, I feel like you saw the attention the royals get. It amped up a level with Diana and with everybody's video equipment being portable, and, you know, the photographers, and everybody can track you and stay after you. And that's when, uh-huh, the paparazzi was so bad. And then I wonder if it hasn't amped up even on another level with social media and the news cycle being so fast and the need for constant, uh-huh, new content and all that kind of stuff. So I do wonder if what Meghan and Harry have experienced is maybe different on some level than what the Queen has experienced in terms of scrutiny and the tone of the scrutiny.
Yes, but sense? I think the Queen, yes, I think Kate and William have dealt with the exact same thing. because I think they came of age, and I think that's why. I mean, you think they used to call Kate was Waity Katie because she had just waited around, and she was a social climber, and her sister was a social climber, and you think they said terrible things about her. And so I think if you looked at the first, to me, if you go back and look at the first 5 or 6 years of that coverage, really up until they had George, I feel like it hadn't been a whole lot different to me than what Meghan and Harry. And here's what I also think is interesting is they still haven't figured out the security piece of it. And they can't really comment on that because you can't say, basically, we're not giving them security or here's their security because that's not secure. So they haven't, they can't comment on that. But I also think you look at the difference of what happened to Diana after she didn't have the royal protection. And I think that the press respects, I feel like you have, there are more boundaries in place because you are a member of the royal family. And now I feel like they've removed themselves from that. And so it almost feels like they've allowed like open season because now nobody's going to say you can't track them down when they go to the grocery store or do whatever they're going to do in Canada or wherever. Like they're kind of open game. So I don't know that, you know, it'll be interesting to see because it goes back to, I don't know that their goal, or I don't know that her goal is really to live a quiet, secluded life. And I almost feel like this almost puts them further from that. Because whereas like William and Kate, I look and think they have to make all these formal appearances and they do all this. But I also feel like they've gotten to control the narrative of like what pictures they release of their kids and when they release them and how they release them because they've given them that protection after everything that happened to Diana. And I almost feel like in some ways, for Harry and Meghan, I think they've just made it more complicated.
So you think maybe it's a little short-sighted of them?
That is what I think. I feel like had they kept their nose to the grindstone and done their appearances and done their thing, I feel like the tide of the press would have turned if they had been gracious and accommodating in that aspect, I feel like, especially now that they are parents. But it felt like everything became such a thing of like that they didn't want to appear with their baby the way Kate and William wanted to appear. They didn't want to do the announcement the way Kate and William did the announcement. They had to do a picture that was with the Queen. It like everything felt so they couldn't live where William and Kate live. They needed Frogmore Cottage. They needed to do $3 million worth of renovations. It's just there's just a lot of bad optics. I feel like that has not helped them.
Well, it looks like for the next year, at least, they're going to get what they think they want. And so,
And it'll be interesting to see. But I think that that was smart to say. And apparently any deals in terms of like merching or selling like Sussex Royal sheets at Target or anything like that, that they want to try to do.
I see you. I see that. I heard that.
Just saying.
I felt that shade. I felt it. It got cold right here where I'm sitting because the shade came in and it covered me.
I'm just saying any of that they want to do has to be approved by the Lord Chamberlain. So they do not have open season to just merch anything they want or use the royal however they want. And they may not be able to keep the Sussex Royal part of the name of their website. But all of that is going to be, so they are going to have kind of a steward over, hey, this is what we're going to allow you to do. It's not going to be free reign because they also have to, because of who they are, they also have to really watch because they still can't get overtly political and all of that
right
now. So I don't know.
It's going to be so interesting. I'm going to be interested to see too, is there going to be some tell-all interview? You know what I mean? Like, is there going to be, I'm curious as to how they start to try to manage it because for better or for worse, whether or not you think they should have kept their mouth shut and stayed put, or you think that it was the right thing to do for them to break out, it hasn't necessarily gone their way in terms of public perception. I think that for the most part, the coverage of them has been not so charitable. And so it'll be interesting to see how they manage that. Cause you know, they'll have to.
Yeah, at some point they're going to have to. And I think that what has done them wrong is because I think Queen Elizabeth is so beloved and she is 93. And you think she's never probably had more favorable public perception than she does right now. It's like, how could you do this to your 93-year-old grandmother? Mm-hmm. I think if they had waited even until Charles was king, it would be different because I don't think people feel the same love for Charles that they do for Queen Elizabeth. So But my thing is, based on the Screen Actor Guild Awards and the news coming out of that, is that I think we could replace them with Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt. I think
let me tell you something. If I didn't dig into that last night, if that didn't capture my attention about 10:30 p.m.,
didn't we
it
all?
Certainly did.
Didn't
him
we all?
Watching her on the like him mm-hmm. watching her acceptance speech? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know them. Mm-mm. I don't want to speculate. Mm-mm. But man, for a moment in time, it was 2002 for a moment in time.
It was. And I think we were all better for it, is what I'm going to say. I think that they have grown and changed. I would like to think that he now looks back at some of the decisions he made and says, you know what? I don't think that was the best. And here is my ex-wife who looks fantastic, who wore a white satin dress, which who can even wear a white satin dress?
Who can wear a white satin dress?
Not a mortal.
It is the most unforgiving fabric in an unforgiving color. I mean, I'm going to tell you, it would not look like that on most of us. It'd look like somebody put some cottage cheese up under that sucker. And cinched it real tight.
Exactly right. And it just flowed on her. And I'm going to tell you that I analyzed those pictures enough to know that that one where she has her hand on his chest and he's holding her hand, that she has one of her fingers is just under the lapel of his jacket, which
okay.
I feel like there's a whole fan fiction thing I could write just on that.
What is it about there are just certain couples you want to see make it and you want to see them work it out. And by all accounts, he was a jerk.
Yes, absolutely.
By all accounts, he was a jerk. But maybe he's learned some things. It's just that whole hope you have that somebody recognizes their issues.
Yes.
They do the work that it takes to move through them. They're a better person on the other side and love will prevail.
Yes.
Like, I don't know.
It's the ultimate fairy tale. It's like a redemption story of like they found their way back to each other, the whole thing. And I thought it's funny because I did think I was like, social media and like Twitter and everything was so invested in it. And we were like, oh my gosh. And I thought, but for all we know, Courtney Cox, who was one of her very dear friends in real life, is calling her today saying, girl, no, like,
No, ma'am. We're not going down that road again. Nope.
So I don't know if they did it as a PR thing, but it felt legitimate and warm and loving to me. And I was excited for it is what I'm going to say.
Oh, I did. I mean, I watched some video where somebody had compiled, there were different angles of him watching her speech and the smile on his face was so sincere. And I just, for a brief moment in time, I was 29 years old and I don't know. It's weird. 'Cause you think when they got together, we were probably, I mean, it's been a minute. That's my point. It's been 20-something years since they were together.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So. Yeah, because it was during her friend's days. Yeah. Yeah, but all I'm saying is that today, January, whatever it is, 2020, they are my new HRH is what I'm saying.
And sing.
The Pitt Royal, pittroyals.com website. I would buy their sheets at Target is what I'm telling you.
You would. And it was real warm right now when you said that. There was no shade in that at all.
No. Because I'm in it from the deepest part of my heart.
All righty. Well, I guess that's about it for this week. But there's some good things out there to dig into. You've got your cheer. Mm-hmm. You've got your Screen Actors Guild Award recaps.
Yeah.
You've got your Royals drama. Hopefully you don't have any wildlife in your yard, but if you do, then Godspeed. That's all I have to say.
That's exactly. God be with you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we will be back next week because you know what we do now? We record these things every week. Don't we?
We do. We do. We really do. I feel like 2019 was a year that we really grew as people and podcasters.
I feel like that Paul Rudd GIF. Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Look at us. Okay. We'll talk to y'all later. Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Well, I'm trying. Stop.
Yes.
Sorry, I looked over my email and I got distracted.
I was waiting. I was like, okay, what are we going to next? And it was like nothing.
No, I know. Okay, now I'm back. Sorry, I was
okay.
Sorry.